Would you turn with me to the 100th Psalm? And I can't help but ask you to sing one more song with me. Would you join me? God is so good. Let me hear you sing. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Now would you close your eyes and make it a prayer? If you sing harmony, sing it. Sing it out loud. This is a prayer to say, God, thank you for being so good to me. Sing it with me one more time. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good too. And all God's people said, Amen. As you have found Psalm 100, have you noticed the stores and the advertisements? We went straight from Halloween to Christmas. Why is it no one wants to take time for Thanksgiving? Today we're going to do just that. I am so thankful for those of you who came last Sunday night to our church business meeting and thank feast. Thankful for those who shared their testimonies of giving thanks to God. It just seems that very few people really want to focus on giving thanks. You know, we draw up a list of resolutions for the new year. I'm sure there's already children getting all those magazines that have been coming in the mail and all the advertisements for Black Friday that have already made a wish list for Christmas. And if they haven't, they probably will. But there's one list that's overlooked, is it not? A list that we should start counting our blessings. Do you remember that old hymn? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. I think that if we started a list, we would be in real trouble to get it finished. It would take a lot of pen and paper. Thanksgiving really ought to be about listing our blessings. And I wonder if we really sat down and started listing our blessings, would you include more than just material things? Lord, thank you for the house. Lord, thank you for our savings. Lord, thank you for the good things we have. Lord, thank you for the food. And there's nothing wrong with being grateful for those things. Amen? And so much good about it. But did you think about listing in your list spiritual blessings? The spiritual things that God has blessed us with. We're thankful for life and health and friends and family and our nation. In spite of all of its flaws, I'm still glad I live in the United States. Listen, I've been in Mexico this year. I've been in Nigeria this year. And I'm telling you, there is no other place that I know of that I want to live. Are we thankful for all God's given us, for our salvation, for the mercy that He shows us every day of our life? We are truly blessed. Amen. And one would assume that because we have so much, that we would be an extremely thankful people. But you know, I think it's just the opposite. I think we have so much that we get less and less thankful for what we have. I think the more we have and the more we get, the less mindful we are of God. And the more we have, the more we want. I think the 100th Psalm was written to deal with that attitude. Would you stand with me? And with that thought in mind of dealing with an attitude that might be not as thankful as it should be, would you join me in reading the 100th Psalm? or join me in watching as I read. That way we don't have 14 different versions going at one time. Amen. Listen to what it says. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with sadness. Thank you. Y'all are learning. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all. We have a call. You've been given some commands right here in this short, brief little psalm. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are so grateful for Your word. Amen. As it has blessed our hearts with uplifting, now let us bless Your heart with our uplifting of glory to the Lord our God. Father, may we glorify You in how our ears hear and our heart receives Your truth. We bless Your name, for You are good. And all God's people said, amen. 400 years before this psalm was written, Israel was in the desert. They were walking around Mount Sinai, and they did it several times, as you know. Several times as they walked around Mount Sinai, God brought them a long way. He brought them to Egypt during the famine, and then Egypt took them and kept them for many years as slaves, and He brought them far, and He had blessed them greatly. And do you remember what God told them after they had been roaming in the desert all that time to get used to the fact that God was going to take care of them? Listen, God was saying, I'm going to take care of you. Look, your shoes don't wear out. Look, your clothes don't wear out. You don't have to plant. You don't have to do anything. I'm going to provide the water that you drink. I'm going to provide the food that you eat. And it's going to be right there. I am going to care for you. And it took several generations there for them to finally learn and see God takes care of us no matter what. God brought them far. He blessed them greatly, and God told Israel when He finally brought them into that promised land, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14, record what God told Israel. Let me give you a synopsis of that. He said, when you come into this land that I have given you, when you settle into the homes that you did not build, when you have plenty to eat that you did not plant, do not forget me. Don't forget me. I'm the one who led you out of the wilderness. I'm the one who brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. God said, don't forget me. Why do you think God would say something like that? I mean, how could these people forget, right? We're a forgetful people. We're a forgetful people. Why is it that we forget the good that's done for us? These people, these Israelites, you know, they're a forgetful people. Not us, right? The people of Israel needed a reminder. And I believe that the 100th Psalm was written to remind Israel to remember what God had done. Shout with joy unto the Lord. To remember what God had done for them and to be thankful. I think it was written not only for them, but for us as well. Did you notice in the scripture to whom it's addressed? Did you notice in verse 1 it said, to all the lands. In other words, to all the earth. Verse 5, it concluded saying, to all generations. Does that include you? Of course it does. Does that include me? Of course it does. It applies to every person in every era and in every stage of life to celebrate their Creator, and to give thanksgiving. Now, I want you to notice that the 100th Psalm emphasizes our well-being. But notice this. It literally emphasizes our well-being in the Lord and not in our stuff. It says, in the Lord, not in our possessions. Just scan the psalm. If you have your Bible open, look at it again. In verse 1, you find, shout to the marketplace? No. Shout to Walmart? Shout out for Black Friday! Shout to whom? The Lord. Our focus needs to be on the Lord. In verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Verse 3, know the Lord. Verse 4, enter His gates and enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise. And again in verse 5, we see the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord that is good. Every verse contains a focus to the Father, to the Lord. The basis, listen to me, it's all wrapped up in this. The basis of our thanksgiving is the Lord. Without Him, no matter what you've got nothing to be thankful for. It is short-lived, and it is a slide into an awful eternity. Without God, we have nothing to be grateful for. The basis of our thanksgiving is the Lord. Take note of the commands that were given us for thanksgiving. First of all, look with me. The first command is in verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Now, don't you think that that is a misprint or just a word that's thrown out there for no reason whatsoever? He says, shout to the Lord. Make a shout to the Lord. You know what that word shout literally means from this translation? It means to proclaim with the force of a trumpet blast. Literally, bah! Got your attention, didn't it? That's what you're supposed to do with your thanksgiving. Get the attention of those around you and give thanks to the Lord. A shout comes from the very depths of our being. It has to, otherwise it's just a word. But when it's shouted, it has emphasis. When God solves your problem, when God brings you through a difficulty, when He gives you direction, when He gives you a blessing, and you realize, wow, this is from God. The Scripture says that the very depths of our being should shout His praise. We shouldn't just say, oh, thanks for getting me through. No, it should be a shout of thanksgiving to the Lord. And it needs to go to the Lord. We shout His praise. This has come from God. I read a story about a medical missionary in India. And this medical missionary was in an area that had some particularly difficult and weird germs. And when the children were born, it affected their eyes. And their eyes would get infected, and the whole population, except for very few, would go blind at an early age. And they didn't know why. This missionary found out that there was something in their environment, and he found something that would cure it. And all these people had to do was come in to see this missionary doctor. He would give them the ointment. He would give them the prescription. They would put it on their eyes, and they could leave there knowing that they would not go blind, that their sight had been saved. You think that's small? Do you think these people might have been grateful? Listen, when they left, these people did not have in their vernacular a terminology that said, thank you. It wasn't in their vocabulary. But because they realized that their sight had been saved, instead what they said was, I will tell your name. That's the exact translation. It was their form of thank you, bless you. But it came out literally, I will tell your name. They would go from place to place and they would tell about the missionary who cured their blindness and that they received something so wonderful they just had to proclaim it. They had to tell the name of the missionary. Do you get where we're going with this? That's what the psalmist is saying that we need to do with the Lord our God. Suddenly we realize that God has been so good. He has cured our spiritual blindness, and we see where life comes from. And we see to whom we need to go to get life. God has been so good, we just can't keep it inside. So from the depths of our being, we express our joy to the Lord. We want to tell His name. That is what this psalm is telling us to do. Shout to the Lord. The second command is this. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. Now I want you to notice, it does not say serve the church with gladness. It does not say serve the pastor with gladness. It says serve whom? The Lord. Now, if serving the Lord includes serving the church, and it does, that's great. But listen, our service is not to the church for the church. Our service might be to the church for the Lord in whatever we do. And the Bible teaches us that if we feed the hungry, if we clothe the naked, if we take care of them, if we do the work of the Lord, if we are serving the Lord, Matthew chapter 25, verse 40 tells us that inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, Jesus said, you have done it unto me. Folks, all of our service is to be to the Lord. That's what Psalm 100 is telling us to do. And whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Have you ever known folks who came to church and it looked like they'd eaten a lemon right before they walked in? Maybe they had an upset stomach. I wonder, is that what it means to serve the Lord with gladness? You know, I think that the way that we serve the Lord has all to do with people either wanting some of Him or saying, I can do without that. The third command is come before His presence with singing. Verse 2 said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. That's why we sing every worship service. Because His Word commands us to. And we're to sing all our testimony to the Lord. Psalms 98 verse 4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I can do that. I can make a joyful noise. Not just a noise, but a joyful noise. And I want you to notice this from these first three commands. Listen and see if you see a theme. Listen. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Do you see a theme here? And then Psalms 98, make a joyful noise to the Lord. What's the theme? Gladness, joyful, happiness. In these first three commands, God said, I want you to be happy around me. Now, I'm not saying that you can't bring your difficulties to God, but whenever we come to serve Him, whenever we come to worship Him, He says that we're to be happy. Shout with joy. Serve Him with gladness. Come with joyful songs. The psalmist is literally telling us, come before Him with joy in your hearts. Giving and serving begrudgingly before God is contraindicated. It means that they don't go together. When we serve the Lord, it should be with gladness. Serve Him. Sing His praises. How? With joy in our hearts. I can just see in heaven when God replaced our life before Him, how many times we dug deep to give to the Lord, or we were preparing a tithe or a gift, and we brought it and we said, man, I sure could have used that for a car payment. Or we give a gift and we go, well, I know I need to do this, but I'm not really happy about it. You know what God's Word says? It says that those things are going to be burned up. They're going to be offerings that don't count before God. Because when we come before Him, we're to give with a joyful heart, with a heart's desire to bless the Lord our God and the work of His kingdom. That third command, come before His presence with singing. Gentlemen, I don't know too many of you. There's a few of you out there, and I've heard some of you sing. And I'm so grateful that God's Word says, make a joyful noise. But that's what he said to do. Make a joyful noise. Guys, I used to have a t-shirt, and it said, "Real men sing real loud." I don't know whatever happened to it. I think I finally wore it out. I love that people would look at it and go, "What?" And I said, "Man, real men sing to the Lord, and they sing real. They don't care if they're out on tune. They just know that God's word says, make a joyful noise. Sing unto the Lord. Come into his presence with what? Singing." Guys, thank you for joining me in singing this morning. Ladies, thank you for joining me in singing this morning. And the fourth command, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Boy, this is a message our world needs to hear every day. With these professors going out there and teaching that there are more than two genders, these people going out there and saying, "Oh, there's more than just male and female." Well, let's just go back to the Word of God and see that God created them how? Male and female. Male and female created he them. God made you like you are. And there is nothing in between, and there's nothing outside of it. You are a creation of God. God made you inside and out, and he made you just the way he wanted you to be. Don't go try to change it. If God wants changes in you, he'll do it. Have you seen that sign on some churches? I love it. It says, "Be a fisher of men. You catch them, he'll clean them." If God wants you to change, God will take care of it. God will lead you to the change he wants in your heart. God made us short and tall, big and small, male and female. God created you to be just who you are. He just wants to draw you to him and make you the best you that you can be in him. And it's important to realize this, people. Listen, you may be going, "Well, I'm not real happy with myself." Well, there's sometimes God's not happy with us too. You know why? He's still making us. There was a little kid's song years ago. Do you remember that? It said, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me." Cool. He's still working on you. He's working on you right now. He loves us, but he's not satisfied with the unfinished product, and that's why he continues to work on us. When we give in to temptation, he's not satisfied with our weakness. So he's still making us. He's still working on our life. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 6, Paul wrote this. Let me just read it to you. He says, "I thank my God every time I remember you, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." He says, "I think about you, and even in your imperfection," Paul said, "I am thankful to God. What a blessing just to know you. But I'm also thankful that God's still working on you, just like he's working on me." There's a word for that. You know what it's called? Sanctification. Justification is when you come to know Christ and you are born again in him. Your sins are washed away. You become a child of God, and at that moment you are forever saved. Sanctification happens every day of our life, right? I've been telling you this for weeks. I just want to remind you, justification is forever. Sanctification is every day. We keep working on it. God is our maker. And he created you in his image. Therefore, dear friends, if you were made by God, are you a mistake? If you were made by God, are you not who God built you to be? You are. He just wants you to yield who you are to him. We are his people. The scripture says we are his people. Verse 3, last of the verse, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's the one who made us, not we ourselves. Quit trying to remake yourself. Let God do the making. He does a wonderful job. We are His people. He's saying this, you're mine. You're my sheep. He's saying, you're the sheep. Let me be the shepherd. And if you'll let Him, He will lead you beside the still waters. He will lead you to the green pastures. He will restore your soul. Command number 5. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Now you remember in the Old Testament when this was written, the temple symbolized the presence of God. If it was the tabernacle in the tent, or if it was the temple that was built out of solid bricks, whatever it was, it literally symbolized and represented the presence of God. So when they came into the temple gates, they would enter into through the walls that would separate the outer places, and you could go in through the temple gates, and then you could enter the courts. And He says, when you enter My gates, He said, I want you to enter it with what? Thanksgiving. And He said, when you enter into My courts, I want you to enter My courts with what? Praise. When they came through the temple gates, when they entered into the courtyards, they knew they had come into the presence of God. And folks, how are they supposed to do that? How are they supposed to come into the presence of God? With thanksgiving, with praise. My question for you this morning, how do you come to worship? How do you come before God? Do you come with thanksgiving? Do you come with praise? Do you come begrudgingly? Do you come hoping, man, I sure hope the preacher preaches short today? Shall we not forget? The temple has changed locations. Amen. You know what represents the temple today? You do. Not this church. Your heart represents the temple of God. You are the sanctuary of God. He lives within my heart. He's with you when you drive on the highway. He's with you when you're working at home. He's with you in the difficult situations, and He's with you in the easy situations. I want to share something here. I'm going to come back and preach on this another time, but I just want to remind you that He says that we are to be with Him all the time. We're to stay with Him all the time. In all things, we are to give praise to God. In all things, we do everything as unto the Lord. You know what that means? That means in the deep times of your life, when you are deeply spiritual, right in the middle of a sermon, when God is working on your heart, or in the middle of prayer and you feel that presence of God, or when you're out by yourself on a mountain worshiping the Lord and you feel the presence of God in those deep times, you are to honor God and praise Him because He is there with you. But He's also with you in the shallows. Hello, are you with me? So many of us wait until we only get in the deep water with God to acknowledge His presence. God is with you in the shallowness of life too. Listen, when you're watching a program on TV, even if it happens to be Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour, God is still with you. I'm not saying that's where He wants us to spend our life, but you know what? There are times we need diversion. When you are out hunting or fishing, guys, ladies, when you're out hunting or fishing, when you're fellowshipping with your friends, when you're just doing everyday life, and I'm going to tell you, shallow is when you're having to clean out your house and you're working on the stuff that needs to be cleaned and you're cleaning out the refrigerator and there's something left there from last Thanksgiving. That's shallow times of life. Are you with me? Nobody thinks, oh, praise God. But did you know that God is with you even in those times? Even in the shallow areas of life, God is with you. Don't just think, oh, I'm going to wade out into the deep and get with God. Listen, would you just experience Him where you are? That's what He says to do. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Don't forget that you, yourself, you are the temple of God. He's with you every moment, everywhere, every step of your life. And what does it tell us to close this out? He says, be thankful to Him and bless His name. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. We are such a forgetful people. What if God began to treat us like we treat Him? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled about the rain? What if God met our needs to the exact same extent that we gave Him our lives? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away His message because we wouldn't listen to His messenger? What if God wouldn't bless us today because we forgot to thank Him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way that we answer His call to serve? What if God decided to stop leading us because we failed to follow Him? I love this psalm. Know that the Lord, He is God. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is what? Everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Pray with me. God, You're so good. Sing with me. God, You're so good. God, You're so good. You're so good to me. God, how can we fail not to give You praise? And yet, we do. Help us, Father, this day to start a new awareness of Your presence, of Your love, of Your care. And Lord, let us enter into Your courts with praise. Father, we need You. We are so thankful that it says Your word reminds us that Your mercy is everlasting. You are good. Help us today, Father, not just to realize it, but to give You proper thanksgiving and praise for Your mercy and Your goodness.